Mornings when I can bring forward answered prayer is a good morning. God is good in that way. And verse 45 of Luke chapter 6 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this great news about this blood clot having resolved. Lord, we praise you for that. We pray for the duration of this pregnancy, Lord, that you keep the mother strong, you let the baby grow in the way that it should. Lord, just bless that whole family. We pray for those, Lord, dealing with serious ailments, Lord, as well as those with their continual aches, pains, and illnesses. That, Lord, you just lay your healing hand upon them as well. And Lord, we just lift up and praise, you know, this graduation. Lord, I pray for Heidi and her future, Lord, that you bless her and her going to college. And Lord, help her to have everything that she need and do well there, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so what we're seeing here first in our study is a study of trees. The study of trees and plants, I may be wrong, I only Googled this, is dendrology, right? You study those things and what comes out of these trees and these plants. And what we see here in verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil." You know, I'm gonna dial up a little bit because I'm looking at the wrong verse. Verse 43. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." I was sitting on my mom's porch, her front porch. She's looking over a tree that has been in that front yard for forever. My mama and papa owned that house. Then they sold it to papa's brother, and papa's brother sold it to my mom and dad. And that tree has been there for as long as I can remember. And we're sitting there. She's looking over at the tree, and she can see that it's not growing right anymore. She can see brown developing within the needles of the tree. She goes, "I think my tree is dying." And I looked over at those brown needles around the base of it, and I go, "Yep, I've seen that before. It's not a good sign." You know, and I can't tell you how long it's going to last. I can't tell you what's going to happen with it. All I know is that it is, in fact, dying. What has happened to that tree? Something corrupted it. For decades, it grew nice, healthy needles. It produced its fruit when it needed to. It pollinated, did all the things that it needed to do wonderfully. And now it is sick. And as it is sick on the inside, you begin to see that sickness permeate to the outside. And I'm not a tree doctor. I don't know what to do. I didn't know what advice to give her. I can just sit there and say it is very clear that there's something wrong. When you look at a tree that is producing bad fruit, you look at that, you say, there is a disease within this plant. Now, sometimes it's not. It's pests. It's something on the outside. But if the tree is bad at its core, it'll either stop producing fruit or it'll produce that corruption will show up in the fruit itself. Now, when we look at our lives, we have to realize that if the core of what we are is tainted or marred in any way, that is going to show up in an outward way. We think that we are good at masking and hiding the problems that dwell within, but in all actuality, we telegraph it in ways that we're not foreseeing, either in our body language, in the amount of sin that we commit forward, you know, in our sense of humor, in the jokes that we tell, in the company we surround ourselves by, we betray a sinful heart more easily than I think we believe we can. You know, I've said this before, I'm very firm on this, right? The Bible is very firm on this. If there is corruption in the heart, you're not going to see a lot of good coming out. You may see a lot of superficial good, right? We can all put on the dog, right? We can tie up the tie and put on the dress and do our hair and praise the Lord this and thank God that. And while I was reading in the Bible the other day and this, you could put on the mask, but what will not be able to hide itself is the sin that lies in your heart. It will come out. You may be able to keep up the charade while you're out in public, but in private, that corruption will show. When you think that you can't be caught, or it doesn't matter if you're caught, that corruption will show. It is why your heart must be clean. We sing these songs for the kids, or these kids sing that song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears. Oh, be careful, little mouth. Right? There was one verse, oh, be careful, little brain, what you think. Because if you let your mind linger on sin or linger on things it ought not to, it'll completely change every action about you. You need to be cautious. You need to be mindful. If not, that stuff gets inside of you and it affects everything you do. We talked this morning in Sunday school class about how the work that we do will be laid out in front of the Lord, and a great fire will come and try the value of those efforts. I'll tell you this, if you've got corruption in your heart while you are serving Him, you are running the risk of losing any kind of validation or reward for that thing you've done. Because there was corruption in your heart, corruption in the reason why you did it, and it became a problem. So often you get people out there, they try to pretend that at the core of what they are is good, while what they do is what the Bible says, evil continually. They'll do something the Bible says not to do, and they'll sit there and they'll say, well, God knows my heart. He absolutely does. Because if you're producing bad, there ain't good inside. There might be a little bit, but it is corrupt. And that's why you got to use that word, corrupt. What has happened there has been affected. If I sit there and I create this beautiful cake for you, I bake you a wonderful cake with brilliant colors and wonderful things, and I bring it over to you, and we're going, happy birthday, and then just as you're about to blow on it, I sneeze on it. You want a piece? No, you would not. But is it still a good-looking cake? Oh, it looks good. Bet it even tastes good if you're brave. But in the end, what do you know about that cake? There's something corrupt on it. I eat that, I could get sick. I eat that, I could get hurt. You know what I mean? We're cautious over those things. But yet we still believe that a little leaven certainly can't leaven the whole lump. But it does. If I've got a secret sin, that's it. It's secret. Nobody can know. Nobody could be affected. You can't be further from the truth. Secret sins are very rarely real secrets. Somebody always knows. Of course, you got God the Father Himself. He sees the heart. But typically, there's always somebody. There's the person you're buying it from. There's the person you're selling it to. There's the person you're hurting with it. There's always somebody who knows. And that sin, as secret as you want, is hurting people. Is causing trouble. You know, of all the things I've passed down to my kids, I used to catch frogs, bring them into the house. Now, I think I've told you why I wasn't allowed to do that, right? They would get loose, and my mom would find them at inopportune times. So if I came to my mom and said, hey, Mom, I lost my pet frog, she would help me look. And would we find it? No. But when she's 5 minutes late for work and she's putting on her shoe, she'd find it. In the shoe. I lost a hamster one time. We looked for days for it. Couldn't find it. Just as we had given it up for dead, Mom found it one morning as she was getting ready for work and she was making breakfast and the thing came running up out of the stove. She found it. I got in trouble. So I was banned. I was barred. I was not allowed to bring frogs into the house because they'd get loose. Sitting there, I was talking to Gideon back there who's looking over at me. He's, Daddy, I caught a frog. All right, let me see your frog. Showed me his frog. He didn't have a frog. He had five. There you go. You know, I thought, man, if I never tell my kids I used to do this, I'd never have it. Nope, there it is. Things happen, man. You always produce. I mean, that's a small thing. That's a cute thing. That's an adorable thing. But sin has a generational effect. We've looked at that recently. It passes down. Why? Because you think you're hiding it. But all the while, you're communicating it. So if you are good at the core, if you have good things, if you are filled with the Word of God, if you're praying regularly, if you have a heart for obedience to the Word of God, you're going to be able to produce good fruit. But it is very hard for somebody with a corrupted heart to produce good because of the nature of what they're working with. Right? We've got cats at our house. Before I cook, I like to wipe everything down and clean everything up. Why? Because even though they're not allowed up there, I know they're cats, right? They're just every, I'll go to bed, they're probably in there sleeping on my stove. I don't know. You wipe it all down. I don't want anything getting in. Now here's the thing. If I'm not mindful of those things, what happens? Corruption seeps into everything I do, right? I sit there, you can't even make a bowl of cereal with confidence and that sort of a thing. You got to clean stuff up. You got to take care of stuff. Right? If I want to produce good, I've got to know that if there's evil on the inside, it will touch everything. No disease means that there's nothing to hinder the production of good things. The less sinful influence you put in, the less influence there will be. Right? We were working on something in the basement, and we had a little bit of clutter going on down there. So two of the boys, they went over, they grabbed a basket. It was the cutest thing you ever did see. Grabbed a basket, they were walking around, but they kept stumbling on stuff. Why? Because they put stuff on the floor. Stumbling around. All right, I'll over here, try doing the best they can. You know, you won't stumble on sin if you ain't got a lot of it in your heart. And we bring that stuff in, don't we? Well, brother, how do I bring sin into my heart? How do I do that? Aren't I either committing it or not committing it? Isn't it my sin nature that's doing that's causing the temptation? Listen, if you're watching sin on a regular basis, you're watching sin, you will become numb to it, and you will eventually start doing it. Oh, no. They've done studies. They said that watching violent things doesn't make you do violent things. Doesn't necessarily mean violence. You got a thing for blood and gore. The more you watch of that, it's going to color your personality. It's going to color your humor. And a little bit of that value for human life gets picked away. It's picked away. Well, I would never go out there and do some of the things that these people are doing. And then the very next breath, they'll tell you about how if they ever saw anybody messing with their car, they'd shoot them. Please tell me more. Please tell me more. Well, I would never go out there and cheat on my wife. I would never go out there and commit assault. I would never do those things. But then when a pretty girl walks by, they got all manner of corrupt things to say. Tell me more about how what you watch does not affect you. And you watch, you see people, they're in a bad mood, they're filled with melancholy or whatever have you. And what do they do when they're sad? They listen to sad music. And does it make them feel better? No. It makes them feel more sad. But they're okay with that because they're in a sad mood. Sad music, sad mood, more sad. But oh, don't ever sit there and say that music ever makes them feel one way or the other. They'll be in the car. It's a beautiful day. They'll turn on some upbeat and peppy music. Why? Because they're upbeat and peppy. And what does the upbeat and peppy music do? Makes them feel more upbeat and peppy. So why are you doing that? Because I want to feel upbeat and peppy. So you're saying that music does have an effect. What about the people you're around? We all know about peer pressure, and it didn't end in high school. We're still facing peer pressure. You say this, people will think this about you. That's unpleasant, so don't think that way. If I do this, people will think I'm old-fashioned. People will think I'm bigoted, and they won't want to have anything to do with me. So I can't do that. I can't say that. I can't be a part of that. Here's what you need to do. If you don't have biblical influence in your life, you need a better class of friends. You need a better class of hanging out people. That's what you need. Because what we need to do is drive for spirituality. If we want to produce the good fruit, right? We know what the fruit of the Spirit is. We want to produce the fruit of the Spirit. We got to take care of what's going on in the heart. You're not going to produce those things. What about the other things we bring in? Bitterness, anger, resentment, whatever. All the dark things that happen around here, right? We don't want to forgive somebody. So we hang on to that in the heart. Well, what happens if you bury unforgiveness in your heart? The root of bitterness takes hold. And the root of bitterness is a mean plant. I've heard of this garden. I don't know where it is. And I meant to look it up and I didn't. Forgive me. Maybe you can Google it at home. But there's a garden filled with poisonous plants. You got to sign a waiver to go into it. I don't know how much it costs to get into it. But a lot of people who have gone into it just... depending on the type of time of year, by going into it and smelling those plants, they've walked out sick to their stomach because of the type of things that are in there. And you have to go through with a guard to make sure you don't touch or take any of the things that are there. They're poisonous. There are poisonous things out there that can grow in your heart. And I'll tell you what, if bitterness was a real plant, it'd be in that garden. Because bitterness is a killer. Well, that's because of something somebody else did, yeah? But you've maintained it. You've taken care of it. You've watered it. You've made sure nothing abused it. You made sure that that bitterness could grow. And really, it's affected you. It has. So we got to be careful with what we bring in, what we put ourselves around. These sinful influences you put in will interfere with everything you do. Your mind begins to change. You know, I used to have that in the apartment industry. Seemed like every time somebody didn't have the money to pay their rent, you always get that sob story. My aunt died. My mom died. My uncle died. My sister died. My brother died. And at the first dozen or so times I heard it, oh, my heart broke. Until their mother died again. You know, Uncle so-and-so, you know, Uncle Bill, he died 9 times. And poor you had to foot the bill every time, bless your heart. Finally, after a few years of that, you begin to pick up on it. You become jaded. You stop believing things to the point to where one time somebody handed me a check, told me that they have to be out of town this week because they had I think it was their sister passed away. Gave me the check in full. I still believe they're about to hand me some excuse. Could you imagine being that jaded? That was one of the first indicators that I needed to get out of that business. It was messing with me. I no longer felt things for people. I'm like, that's messed up. I've lost all compassion. I've lost all human decency and respect for humans. That is a bad thing. I had to repent. I did. The next day I sat there and I prayed to the Lord, please forgive me. Mend my heart. Make me a better person again. Make me thoughtful of others. Because I've brought some stuff into my heart that has been bad. And I've got some unforgiveness and some bitterness that has cropped up in that space. What you take in will have an effect on everything. It will. Anything you add to the concoction of your heart will amend the flavor, will change what it is. Right? We need to be mindful of what it is we're watching, what it is we're entertaining in our hearts, what it is we're participating in. As we produce good things and we focus on keeping our heart clear and we're producing the right things, I take the fruit of the Spirit and I write those down. Am I producing these things in everything I do? Well, then what happens? It becomes easier to do those things. Forgiveness happens on a dime, right? Love, peace, long-suffering, those things happen. That's what I got stuck on, by the way. I was no longer long-suffering towards others. I just immediately got angry and immediately just got distrustful over people. And I'll tell you, I will say, I was baited, but I had no excuse for feeling that way. I lost my love. I lost my long-suffering. I lost my compassion. I lost these things that were that were just the building blocks of what a Christian should be. So we produce those things. We focus on those things. That thing I did, that thing I'm fixing to do, does it fit into what I'm supposed to be as a Christian? And as I build those things and do well in those things, it's important for me to realize that just because I do have a good heart, just because I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, does not mean that corruption won't come in. We hear that all the time. Oh, well, Deacon so-and-so has been a deacon of that church and helped them build the left wing. And they named the entire fellowship hall after his daddy. And they could never be found guilty of doing things. And then it turns out the deacon so-and-so was absolutely guilty of doing those things. Why? Because every tree can be corrupt. There ain't a tree out there can't be corrupted. We talked in length this morning during Sunday school about how things can corrupt inside. And we're never above it. We can never see ourselves above it. We've got to be careful. You know, if I found out that somebody had, somebody's had a flu bug in their house, I wouldn't intentionally go over there, mask off, and hang out for a couple hours. I might leave you some soup at the door. I might leave you a little goodie bag. I might give you a call. We might drive by and wave. Right? I think that's how we got through a lot of the pandemic. We drove by and we waved at each other. But I ain't coming in and sniffing the air and licking the doorknobs. Mm-mm. That'd be foolish. But when it comes down to sin, some of us are doing more than licking the doorknobs. It's aggressive. The contact, we are allowing bad things to have in us as though they can't affect us. So we know that good trees produce good fruit. If something at the core has removed sin and has heavily applied the fruit of the Spirit and grown the fruit of the Spirit and has a strong obedience to the Lord, well, they'll produce good things. Fruit of the Spirit is going to grow there if we focus on it. The Word of God is going to help us produce that if that's what we've got buried in there. If we're listening to God-honoring songs and we're spiritually building ourselves up, good fruit will be produced. But a bad tree on the other side, or a corrupt tree, will always produce corrupt fruit. Because that's how disease works. The disease of sin touches everything once it's there. The thoughts and the memories of times that we've done it will pervade. You'll be sitting there minding your own business, not intentionally trying to remember sin, but you'll remember it. And then it will tempt you. Oh, remember back when we used to go up and we'd go over here and we'd do this or that. Man, I tell you what, if anybody ever found out we did that, they wouldn't think we were such good people. But, man, I'd like to drive by there just one more time. Just drive by there, see if the old crew's still hanging around. Don't do that. Don't play those games. Well, I won't exactly do what I used to do, but, you know, I can participate a little bit, you know, a little bit of the memory. Don't. Because it's looking for a foothold. It's that disease is looking for a way to get into your life and reestablish itself in your doings. And then some folks will sit there, they'll have corruption in their lives, but they'll get all excited about the stuff that's good, like the corruption isn't there. Remember that old joke, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? You know the rest of the joke? Finding half a worm. I remember the first time somebody told that joke to me, I sat there and I said, well, where's the other half? Somebody had to, you ate it. I never ate no worm. If it's corrupt, it's corrupt. Well, it looks so good on the outside, but it's not. You know, it's like that Halloween candy people get. Always used to have to check it. You know, when I was a kid, we'd have to go, you know, back when we did such things, the McDonald's on the corner of Grandma's house. Grandma had a great neighborhood. Grandma had one of those neighborhoods, and she still lives there, where you get the full-size stuff, right? Love that place. Go up and down those streets. You go over to the McDonald's across the street, and the police were always there. And they'd check your candy for you. They'd run a metal detector over it. They'd make sure it was still filled with air, you know, and they'd throw out anything that was bad. It was a good deal. It looks so good! Yeah, but some weirdo, right? Some weirdo. You never had to worry about that. Remember that case a long time ago where somebody was putting poison inside Tylenol bottles? You pop it open, it looks good. That was before they did all the tamper evidence stuff, you know. Looks good to me. Oh, that was a good sound. Must be good. They took it. People died. Why? Psychos. Crazy people. things can look good and be very bad. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I do this, I do that, but look at the good that I do. No, I'm not biting that apple because of this perversion you've got in there. No, thank you. I don't want you to have anything to do with anything else because of this. Now, I knew of somebody that they wanted to participate in children's ministries, but they had a bit of a potty mouth. So they had a hard time being able to be allowed doing children's ministries for fear that something awful would pop out of their mouth. That'll happen. Oh, but don't you understand? I've got intelligence. I've got this. I've got that. Yeah, but I'm not explaining to some 5-year-old's mom why he learned the F word in Sunday school class. Not going to do it. Now, could you imagine sitting there, your child comes home. Where'd you learn that? Sunday school. You got somebody who likes to tell off-color jokes. And the kid goes home and tells that joke to their mom. Where'd you learn that? Church. Yeah, but I've been a teacher for X amount of years. Yeah, I've been serving for all this time. Yeah, but don't you understand? I got this or that degree. I'm an intelligent human being. You may be. But for that corruption, I still say no. You know, if I were to sit there, you use that illustration again. I pour you a nice cool glass of water on a hot day. And I put one drop of arsenic in it. You want it? Now, come on, 99% of that water, right? 99% of the drops in that glass are pure, good water. But that one drop of arsenic is too much, isn't it? Make you sick, cause trouble. So how much of your heart is pure drops of water, and how much of it is arsenic? And would you drink it? Would you want to be influenced by what's going on in your heart? If you're looking at it going, oh no, I would never want that, brother. There's some definite issues here. You're already influenced by your heart because that's what leads everything you do. That's your motivation. That's your drive. That's your heart. Your heart is everything you do. So don't get excited about the edible parts of corrupt fruit, because the fruit itself is still corrupt. Now, as we continue on reading here, for every tree is known by his fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, for of bramble bush gather they, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now listen, I have seen thorn bushes. I have never thought it was a good idea to reach up in there and see if I could find some food. And you know why? Because it looks sharp, don't it? See, bramble bushes, they don't make excuses. They don't lie about what they are. What you see out of thorn bush is what you get. That looks like it'll hurt me. It hurt me. It's what it is. It's honest. And when we grow in that way, when we are producing that kind of sin and immorality in our lives, we're not just entertaining it, but we're producing it. We will see a difference in how people approach us. Right? And we sit there and say, well, we should not. We shouldn't treat anybody any different than we want to be treated ourselves. And that's what the Bible says. We ought to do unto others as we'd have them do unto you. But at a particular point, you got to understand who you're dealing with. Right? If you've got somebody and, hey, listen, I just got out of jail and, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was in there for murder. What were you in? Who'd you kill? Maybe it was self-defense. Who'd you kill? My landlord. Okay. Well, how can I help you, sir? I'm just looking for a place to stay for the next couple weeks. I'd be willing to pay. Now, you'd sit there and you'd say, well, no. Right? Well, no. I'll help you. Maybe I got a couple bucks in my pocket. I'll put you up in a hotel for a couple weeks. But there ain't no way I'm bringing you in with my wife and kids knowing that you killed your landlord over such and such. I ain't going to be your next one. No, thank you. You know, I was interviewing a guy one time. He had the honesty to say, I asked him, I go, why are you leaving the job you're at right now? He goes, oh, I was fired. I go, oh, no. He goes, there's nothing bad. I just got into a fist fight with my boss. Well, I would never hit you. You don't know me. Maybe you would. I've got a ton of people who might disagree with you. I'm quite tempting to hit from time to time. I don't know. Listen, we'd be careful. We're not going to sit there, okay? If I don't want violence, I'm not going to go to a violent person. If I don't want greed, I'm not going to go to a greedy person. You know, hey, well, why'd we stop getting together? Because every time we got together, you'd do something awful. So no. You know, I can joke about this because I'll joke about it in front of his face. But in all honesty, I'm not joking. I do not drive in the car with my brother. My brother got his truck running. I was over at my mom's house. He goes, why don't we go for a ride in my truck? No, it's okay. It's okay. Mom and dad will watch the kids. That ain't what I'm worried about. I'm worried about me and everybody else on the road with you. No, not a chance. Now, he's got this old duster of a truck. It is an old beat-up thing. Good sturdy wind knocked this thing into pieces. And he drives like a maniac. Come on in. No, I don't look for rides with people who've got the driving record yet. No. Thank you. Right? I'll tease them about it. You know, and I'll tell them the truth about it. Well, why not? Because I have deemed you an altogether dangerous individual. Oh, come on. I go, it's not just me. State of Michigan agrees. Right? No. You know, we didn't even take a vote, man. State just spoke for us. You know, we tease back and forth about it, but it's the truth. We know better, don't we? We know better than to put our hands in the garbage disposal while it's running. We know better. We know better than to reach into some thorns and into some bramble bushes and expect something good to come out of that. No, we know what we get. The problem is that when it comes down to sin, we forget what that monster is. We forget what it is. Right? It is that kid who gets a ant farm and forgets about the ant farm, and the ant farm falls off the desk and shatters, and now there's ants all over the house, and mom wants to know why. You bought the kid an ant farm. You didn't check in on it. That's what happened. Right? We do things. We come to expect that. There was another story I was reading. Another guy who had himself one of those social media accounts where he showed off all the snakes that he had, all these poisonous animals that he had. Well, guess what he got in the news for? He got bit. Why? Because that's what they do. Snakes don't want to be in cages. They don't want to be fed. They want to be free. So it doesn't matter how much you love them. It doesn't matter how many likes on Facebook they get. They're going to bite you. Why? Because you're the jailer. They're the prisoner. That's it. What do? We understand that. We respect that. I would never put my hand in a snake cage. I'm not afraid of them. I'm just not dumb. You know, I would never sit there and put my hand into some kind of a spider cage. Why? That's horrible. Why would I do that? I wouldn't tickle a scorpion. That doesn't make any sense. But yet when it comes down to sin, we've seen so many people get bit, stung, and killed. And we still sit there and say, well, I can handle just a little bit. I can play just a little bit. You know, if I were to see my neighbor doing this, I would be appalled. But I tell you what, if I see it on the TV, I won't miss an episode. Right? Well, if I heard somebody talking like that, I'd tell them to shut their mouths. But I tell you what, we'll turn the radio up every time somebody's singing about it. We keep forgetting that sin is a monster. We keep forgetting that it corrupts. So when we sit there and we embody those things in our life, don't be surprised when people don't want to have anything to do with you. Don't be surprised when the Lord stops using you, when He stops blessing your life, when He stops putting you into situations where you can do some good. Why? Because you've become wholly corrupt. No longer good for what it was meant for. Brambles and thorn bushes, they don't produce good fruit. What they do instead is they hurt people. And they heard other things that get involved in it. But here's some good news. We are not stuck in either being trees that produce good fruits or trees that produce corrupt fruits. We can fix ourselves. We go to the Word of God. We pull out that corruption. And we start working on producing the good stuff. And all of a sudden, we've changed. We're not stuck the way we are. We can change habits, can't we? We can fix things. We can make things better. See, we get this idea again that a little bit's not a problem. David Goggins is a, he's got a foul mouth, so I don't watch his stuff. But there was a book written about him, about how he did things. He runs hundreds of miles, runs these ultra marathons. And you sit there and you think, you know, a guy who has so tuned his body up as he has, he could have a candy bar, his body probably wouldn't even notice it. Now me, I got diabetes. I take it, I'll feel it. If I eat a candy bar now, I'll feel it. Every part of me will feel it. Why? This ain't in shape. That man is all muscle. His body will rip through it. As long as he only has one, he'll be good. There's no spiritual corollary to that. On your strongest and best days, sin will still rip you up. On your weakest days, you'll still get ripped up. Sin doesn't care if you're strong. Sin don't care if you're weak. Sin will get you the same every time. So what do we got to do? We got to get our heart in shape. We got to get our heart in shape. Very first thing we've got to do is we've got to take those sinful elements and we got to get them out. Those things that go against the Word of God, we've got to make an all-out war on them. And leave no stone unturned. If you're in your garden, before you start planting anything, what do? You prepare the soil. You prepare the soil, you pull out everything that's grown up there wild, you rip it all apart, you make sure it's good fresh. That's what you got to do. Those old set ways, you got to turn them up. You got to destroy them. Right? Much like you would sit there and take a tiller to the soil and just grind up the earth. You got to do the same thing. Get rid of those bad things that God says you shouldn't have. You get rid of them, and I promise you, something's going to happen to the rest of your heart. There's a freshness, a cleanness that'll step in. Oh, but what will I do without my pet sin? You don't need your pet sin. You don't need it. It's weighing you down. It feels good for a moment, but it's weighing you down. It's like those people that keep pet wolves or, again, those poisonous snakes as pets. Oh, but I love it so much. That wolf will eat you. Right? Well, I've got a pet orangutan that will pull your face off. They've done it before. Those things aren't helping you. They're hurting you. So you get rid of the sin. You repent of it. You go to the Lord. You give your forgiveness. You ask for strength to really be done with it. You get your heart turned over. You get it right. And then what can I do? I start bringing in things that honor God. So I turn off the worldly influence, the television, the phone, the radio. I dull worldly influence. I set up a blockade and I start bringing in godly influence. Well, I don't really like Christian music. Well, it depends on what you like. You know, I turn on the radio, you hear some of the more modern songs. I don't like them. They ain't scriptural. Now, I ain't saying that everything that was written prior to the 1970s was scriptural either. You find a lot of bad stuff. But my heart is to find scriptural things to listen to, and that's what I do. And guess what? It builds me up. It does. I feel good. When I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, I mean, think about it. I mean, just think about it objectively. If I'm sitting there listening to, watching, you know, murders, sin, I'm watching the news, all the bad stuff going on, do you necessarily feel good inside? Do you feel edified? Or do you feel like you're ready to give up, man? And you sit there watching, they did what? How is it that they're doing? That's awful. You feel bad. You put some spiritual influence in your life, guess what? It helps. You edify your soul, and turns out it gets edified. Who'd have thunk? Who'd have thunk, right? I feed myself spiritually. I begin to feel some spiritual strength. But I tell you what, it's not just in the entertainments. It needs to be in the daily care of things. You need to be in this book. I've said it 1,000 times. If you don't purposefully mend your heart, if you don't purposefully take care of what's going on inside of you, bad things will happen on their own. Where you don't have something good planted, something bad will grow. You need to be in the Bible. You need to be purposeful about it. You need to be consistent about it. Now, don't sit here and give me that. Well, I really messed up this week. Okay, we'll cry about it for a second. Today's a new day. Today is a new day. Get after it today. Oh, but I'll never be able to catch up. You're right. Today's a new day, though. we pick up today. You know how many times I've had to sit there and take my schedule and go, okay, I got a little off. I'm going to have to fix it. You know how many times I've done that? All the time. And you know what? It's never hurt me to do it again. You know what has hurt me? Getting frustrated that my Bible reading schedule ain't right and quitting. That ain't never helped me. Ever help you? Ever help me? Self-pity's never done a thing for me. Feeling bad about myself has never done a thing for me. But sitting down there getting real with myself and saying, all right, I can't fix what was, but I ain't doing it again. That's done a lot of good. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to purposefully open this book. I'm going to read this many pages, and I ain't going to quit till I'm done. Yeah, I do that, and then the phone starts going off, and then I'm checking this and checking that. You take that phone. You put it in the other room. Can I remind you of something? Do you remember a time when people would call you and they would do this thing called leaving a message? Did you know that the modern cell phone still has that feature? I mean, think about it. You used to go out, live your life, do your thing, and you got to the phone messages when you got home and felt like it. Remember that? Wasn't that nice? Now you got a cell phone in your pocket. People can text you, Facebook message you, email you, call you, and if you don't pick up that phone, they're going to call back 30 seconds later. They're probably dead. We never used to think like that. We always used to assume, oh, they're not home. I'll call them later. Or I'll leave them a message. They'll call me back. Isn't that what we used to do? Hey, that still works. You put that thing away. Oh, I tell you what, these kids are my schedule, I'm really not having a hard time reading nowadays. You know, I got all these reasons why I can't. You know, we've all been there. You know, I got a thing on my phone, and better yet, we've got a thing down there. It's all tapes. It's the Bible. You just put the tape in, you hit play, it'll read the thing for you. I've got an app, sounds like James Earl Jones. It's delightful. Delightful. There's no excuse for us. You know, I heard somebody that gave this testimony. They said that they struggled to find time. So that's what they would do, is if they struggled to find time that morning on the way to work, instead of blaring music like they would normally do, like any of us would, they put on the Bible and they'll get their chapters in that way. Now, if you're able to read, I'd prefer you read, because it's easy for your mind to wander when you're listening. But I tell you what, if you ain't got the eyesight, there's your solution. I tell you what, if you ain't got the time, there's your solution. Some of you may sit there and say, well, I've never been good at reading. There's the solution. See, we got to be solution-minded when it comes down to being spiritually fed, right? Listen to some sermons. We've got the resources for that. You know, be where you ought to be. Take care of what you ought to take care of. Make sure you are spiritually strong. Because if you don't put in the effort to grow spiritually, other things will grow. And those things won't be beneficial. Those things won't help you. We need to be pruning. Pruning at all times. Because after a while, what will happen is you'll develop a good garden. Right? You'll have removed all the bad. You'll have grown this garden and the fruit's growing and everything's wonderful. But because you have a sin nature, because you still have fresh, fertile soil in your heart, what'll start to crop in? Some of that sin will come back. And we can be bummed about that, or we can get the little weed cutters. We can pull that out by the root, get it all out of there. We got to continue to go through and work on those things. Mark 9:45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Listen, if you've got a little bit of a problem with the television, get rid of it. Oh, but brother, what would I do? You got a problem with it, right? Because I'll sit there, I'll tell people, all right, listen, set a timer. So you know when that's off, you're done. Or when that show's over, you're done. So you're not sitting there waiting for Netflix to say, hey, are you still watching? You know, a little bit of a thing can be good. You know, a chair is a wonderful thing. I think everybody ought to have a good chair, their favorite chair. Everybody ought to have a favorite chair in their house. Chair for a little bit is good. Chair for 8 to 9 hours a day is death. Right? A little bit of TV can be good. TV for 8 hours. As death, is bad for you mentally, bad for you spiritually, and it's bad for you physically too, because you ain't moving. You ain't moving. That little bit of a good thing, too much can be death. What do? We prune that down. We cut that out. And then some people say, well, I've tried all that and it just doesn't work. Good. Get rid of the TV. That's where you cut the foot off. You get rid of the TV. Right? Well, you know, I just have a hard time putting my phone in the right perspective. How much time I'm staring at the thing. Okay, well, you know, I've been tempted to do, you know, Charlie got a smartphone now, so I can't use this illustration, but flip phone. You're struggling with it. Flip phone, brother. I'm there. I'm about ready to go get me one. Then you can make fun of me. Tempted, man. It gets too much on you. You sit there, you go out throughout the day. Danielle's always busting my chops because she'll go to use my phone and I'll have all these notifications up on the top. She says, don't you ever clear these? I go, listen, every time I go up there to look at one, I look at all of them. And that turns into a half hour of me just staring at the thing. So no, I don't look at them because that is a rabbit hole. And if I go down that thing, I'm going to be madder than the Hatter. I just, no, right? No, I'm tempted. Cut it off. If you're one of those people, you sit there, you say, hey, I've got this influence on my life, and I've got zero control over it. You cut it out. Because whatever you feel you've lost, it's going to be a lot better to live that way than for it to control everything. Nothing ought to have that kind of control over you. Nothing ought to have that kind of impact over you other than the Lord Himself. Now, why do I say the Lord Himself? He created you. He cares for you. He loves you in a way that nothing else or no one else could. And He wants what's best for you. Those things out there, they want your money. They want your vote. They want your support. But those things aren't necessarily good for you. So we cut down on that influence. Media, friendships. We cut down on the things that are inside of us that would influence us. We shun those the memory of how to do sin. We push away the imagination when it comes down to sin. Because we've got to remember that whatever it is we hide inside our hearts will not stay there. It won't stay there. We think we're clever. I could take a little bit of sin and I can hide it in the recesses of my heart. And no one will ever know. Wrong. God knows. God knows. God cares about that too, and God's going to have some questions for you. He's going to have something to say about it. And then, you got to understand, it won't stay there. At least not quietly. It'll bring in friends. Bring in friends. Had an argument with my dad when I was younger. I wanted a pet guinea pig. He goes, no. I said, but Dad. And I made my argument the way every kid makes an argument for a new pet. And finally, I wore him down. He says, all right, you can have one. I go, okay, but I kind of have this opportunity to get two. So one turned into two. Two's no big deal, right? You clean the cages, you take care of them. You know what I didn't know? I didn't know how to tell the difference between a boy guinea pig and a girl guinea pig. And when I cleaned their respective cages, I'd put the one in the other's cage, and they would get along. So I'd take the cage out, I'd scrub it out, I'd clean everything up and fresh bedding and bring it back. I'd take that guinea pig and put it over, and I'd take the other guinea pig, put it in the fresh new cage and go clean the other one. Well, after a while of doing that, I ended up with a handful of guinea pigs. One problem became two problems, became a whole nest of problems. You just wake up and babies. How do I explain this to mom and dad? Thankfully, they were noisy. I didn't have to tell them myself. I thought about that when I was thinking about this message. I mean, just how you think you have one thing. And you think you got it under control. But you don't know. You don't know what all sin can do. And one sin turns into many sins. Those sins, they start making noise. And they tell on you. And by the way, your biggest concern, God already knows what you've got going on. He's already going to make you answer for what it is you're doing. Or as we spoke about in Sunday school class this morning, what you reap, you sow. That comes back at you. So, again, we must say, our hearts are not a safe place to hide sin. You're putting rats in a cardboard box wondering why it won't stay where you put it. And it corrupts everything and it changes everything. It's more responsible for us to keep the bad influences out of our hearts so that we can produce good fruit than it is for us to try to mingle the two, to try to outgrow. Like, well, I'll do a lot of good things and that'll cover up the bad. No, that bad is going to affect and corrupt everything. It is better to live a sinless life than it is for us to continue on and wonder, why isn't the Lord using me? Why isn't the Lord blessing me? Why do I have all these problems? Why is this terrible thing happening? I'll tell you why. You're inviting it. You're feeding it. You're hosting it. We got to take care of this, right? Many of you, and I've got one too, we got a cardiologist we go to. What are they always telling us to do? Take care of the heart. Why is your pastor telling you to take care of your spiritual heart? Take care of it. Because out of it, as the Bible says, are the issues of life. Everything comes out of that thing. So you want to make sure it's right and it's clean. And I'll say this and we'll be done. You know, imagine this, you're making a meal for somebody. They did something nice for you, so you want to do something nice for them. What do you grab out of the cupboard? Do you sit there and grab your dirtiest, most chipped up dish? Well, I guess it depends on who you're giving it to. If it's for your kids, man, you know that thing ain't coming back. But you know, somebody you respect, somebody who you know is going to give it back to you, you get a nice one, don't you? Oh, this is for so-and-so. They really took care of me. They're adults. I can give this to them. You pull out something nice, and you put it in a nice, clean dish, and you take it over all presentable-like. The Bible says there are some vessels to honor, some to dishonor. What's the difference between an honorable vessel and a dishonorable vessel? The level of filth and the way that it is, right? What kind of vessel are you? Everything you do, whether you consume it or you produce it, comes out of this heart, right? It affects this heart. So what kind of a vessel are you? Are you a clean one? Are you an honorable one? Or have you made yourself all manner of dishonorable? So when the Lord's looking to see who he's going to use in a situation, he looks at you and goes, maybe next time. I don't want to be on the shelf. You want to be on the shelf? So we would need to pray, Lord, create a clean heart in us. Help us, Lord, to remove the brambles, to remove the thorns. Help us to remove the sin so that good things can grow. And we can be a productive member of God's kingdom. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray this, that you help us. Lord, help us to honor you. Help us to do right by you. And Lord, help us to show, like Brother Dennis said this morning, help us to be that mountain that moved. Help us to be something that declares your glory. That when people look at us, they see cleanliness where there wasn't before. That, Lord, they see fruit growing, good things growing, where before there was only decay and rot. So that, Father, your Son's name would be praised. Lord, as he is the difference, so that, Father, we may be able to stand in high places and give help to those and bring honor and glory to your name. Father, that ought to be everyone's desire. So help us, Lord, to do right and getting the sin out of our lives and focusing on producing spiritual fruit. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.